Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up, all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hell. But they don't have so very long. Before their judgment day, so won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up, all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Yeah, change it. Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Need some help, y'all. Can't do it alone.
Can't do it alone.
Yeah, yeah. Wake up, everybody. Wake up, everybody. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, we do. Need a little help.
Assalamu alaikum. Good evening. You're listening to Mother's Milk, and I'm your hostess, Samia Safir Muhammad. Welcome to our show. Well, okay, we're going to get started with a big news story right now. A young man was shot down in L.A., 33 years old, doing a lot of good things for the community, and suddenly he's shot down. I don't know the details, but it doesn't seem coincidental to me. Let's pray for his family, his children, and his mother and whomever. But I will say, as a word of caution, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us, do not speak before your actual power to do. Also, he said, we need to keep our mouths out of white men's ear. We talk too much. We talk about what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, and oft times our enemies plot based on what we tell them. So we need to stop talking so much. We need to stop sharing every little thing we do on Facebook, what we had for dinner, where we're going. You know, all of that's not necessary, because what you're doing is setting yourself up for people who don't like you or people who are your enemies to take advantage. So let's be a little bit more wise in our movements and what we say and what we do, because we are in a world that is out of control, and we've got too many enemies as a people. So we need to heed the warnings and be careful, and let us not just tell everybody what we're intending, because what we're intending nowadays may get you killed for no reason, out of envy and jealousy, out of all kind of plots. So we need to be careful. There's another thing that is paramount that we need to think about. Okay, Big Pharma, the pharmaceutical people make money by keeping us thinking that we're sick. If you turn on any news channel, CNN, MSNBC, those type of channels, every other commercial is to sell you something for some ailment that you have. Oh, if you feel like this, take this. If you feel like that, take that. And they're making big money. And then they tell you all of the symptoms, all the things that can possibly go wrong when you take this particular thing, and they're far worse than whatever it is that's ailing you. So let us be cautious about just jumping in and buying whatever is being advertised to help us to a better state, which turns out never to be that. The other thing, all of a sudden now, measles is an epidemic. Now, I need us to think logically. I need us to do the math. Because when you say that there's a measles epidemic in the United States and that there are 651 cases spread across 15 states, I did the mathematics. That comes to about 25.2 people per state. That's not an epidemic. That's not an epidemic. So now we have to ask ourselves, why is this being pushed into our minds? What are they trying to accomplish? And what they're trying to accomplish is to make you who have come up and began to understand that some of these vaccines that they're offering are harming our children, to go ahead and say, I got to get my child vaccinated because somebody got measles. Let me tell you something. I'm 68 years old, and as a child, everybody I knew growing up had the measles, had mumps, and had chicken pox. I don't remember one person dying from those three childhood diseases. So why all of a sudden now all of these children have been vaccinated almost 37 times by the time they're 3 years old. This is ridiculous. And because there's now a movement to say, you're not going to do this to my child, now all of a sudden we've got an epidemic. Okay? Now if you think back, about 10 years ago or 12 years ago, there was supposed to be this avian flu coming. Well, the avian flu never materialized. The vaccine that they made for it never was needed, okay? So we need to be thinking human beings. Don't let people, through mass media, hype you up and make you become just a dumb follower of whatever is being said in the mass media. Please think for your children. Do the research on vaccines and what they're doing to our children. There's a movie out called Vax. Get it. Go online. You can pull it down off of YouTube. It's called Vax, and it talks about what these vaccines are doing to our children, especially young Black boys who are coming up with autism. You take a healthy child in to get a vaccine, you get a child who comes out and can't do anything after that. it's not worth it. Trust me, measles wasn't that bad. Yes, we itched, and we were all full of calamine lotion, but it went away in about a week. No harm done. So now they're talking about all this stuff. Now, my age group, and I had to ask my doctor, because in my age group, all of a sudden, they're saying everybody has hepatitis C. And I'm like, well, where did we get this from? My doctor couldn't give me an answer. She said something like, well, I think maybe it was something that y'all missed. What are you talking about? How is it that everybody in my age group is supposedly susceptible to a disease that none of us had, nobody around us had? So how we all of a sudden are susceptible to this hepatitis C? And nobody, when you look up the symptoms, there are no concrete symptoms. There are no concrete causes. Now, what I will say is that we who were of this age group were the baby boomers. What happened? Young men were going off to war in the late 40s, early 50s, and they were afraid they were going to die, so they wanted to have a child so that their legacy could live on. There was a whole bunch of babies born. Around the early 60s, they started saying, well, if all of the baby boomers survive, then they're going to break the Social Security system. So now what happens? People in my age group get retirement age, and shortly after they retire, they end up dying. Of what? Cancer. What stage? Stage 4. Wait, how did you get stage 4 cancer? So I'm saying this to all of us. Please do your homework. Investigate what people are telling you about your own children and your own circumstances. If you give up the rights to your child to make decisions for your child, you will never regain it, okay? We got to be careful. History best rewards our research. That's what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, and we need to take heed to that, because go study. Just go look at what happened in various countries where they became subjected to to rule by those who just refused to listen to balance, okay? So this is what he said. Of all our studies, history is most attractive and best qualified to reward all our research as it develops the springs and the motives of human actions and displays the consequences of circumstances which operate most powerfully on the destinies of human beings. We got to look at what's going on. If it looks like it happened before, trust me, it will happen again if people do not act. Let us not be sleepwalking. We have to be wide awake, especially when our children are concerned. We've got these schools that have miseducated and are continuing to just take our children's minds from them, the ability to think, the ability to grow, to invent, to do the things that make us better human beings. Is being squashed among our children. So what's your alternative? There are alternatives. We've got churches, people, that are empty from Monday through Saturday. There's nothing going on. Why can't we school our own children? We need to take them out of these systems that are killing them, that are just having them to become more and more savage, less and less humane toward each other and you as their parents. They're not listening to you. They're not listening to authority. Matter of fact, they don't want to listen, period. They don't want to even learn. I'm right. I don't care. I don't have to practice. I don't have to study. I don't have, because of the media, the television and the shows and the games and all the things that they're exposed to, they think all I got to do is just do it. I don't have to practice. They don't understand that Michael Jordan put in hours upon hours just doing free throws and dribbling and all that. They don't understand what it took for Steph Curry to be who he is. They don't understand how LeBron James got to be who he was. They don't understand how the Michael Jackson and Jackson family practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced to become the entertainers that they became. They think all I got to do is say I want to do it and it gets done. No, it takes practice. It takes practice to bring anything into fruition and to perfect it so that it can be acceptable. You just don't get up one day and start singing, you know, and think, oh, or think that because you made one record that means that you are going to be this super entertainer. It takes work. The only place where success comes before work is in the dictionary. Otherwise, in order to be successful at anything, you got to work at it. And this is something, parents, we must instill in our children. How do we do that? We do that by making them responsible at young ages. You know, you teach your child, okay, when you get up from the table, you take your plate and you put it in the sink if you're too small to wash it. If you're 5 years old, then you get show a child, this is how you wash out a cup and a plate and a spoon. And I expect you to do that every time you eat something, every time you drink out of something. I expect you as a young person to do that. I'm going to teach you how to make up your bed. I'm going to show you where your shoes and your coat and your book bag should be when you walk in the house. And this is what I expect of you. And you show them, and you show them until they can do it themselves. And then you enforce it and make sure it gets done. Because this is the only way you're going to raise responsible human beings. We've got children with a mindset today because they have, because of our, I guess, our guilt feeling or our wanting to give them what we didn't have. We've given these children too much too fast. You got 6-year-olds walking around with cell phones that cost $300. And guess what they do? Oh, they leave it somewhere, or they drop it, or they sit on it, or their sister broke it in somehow. And guess what? Their hand is out waiting for another one. And what do? You replace it. You replace it. You don't even make the child work for the replacement. You just give them another one. So they think that in this world, whenever they break something, whenever they lose something, another one's just going to pop back up. You don't ever sit them down and show them the type of sacrifice it took to get them whatever it is they have, be it a nice pair of shoes, be it a coat, be it whatever it is that they're asking for. And we give them because, like I said, we're guilty. We feel guilty. Well, I didn't have it, so I must give my child. No, you're spoiling these children who now have no respect for anybody or anything. How do I know? I teach children every day, and I watch, and I hear, and I listen, and I see. And like, man, look at this. Baby, what happened to this? Oh, well, I lost it. Where did you – I left it. Dude, I broke this. I can't find that. Where's your coat? I don't know. And it's okay to them because they're going to get another one. See, they're not being done like we were as children. You lost a couple things. I remember losing my glasses for like the third time in one school year. And guess what? My aunt refused to buy me another pair until school started. So I walked around the whole summer. I couldn't see anything. I had to end up learning who was coming to me, toward me, by the way they walk. Oh, that's so-and-so. Because I couldn't see them. But she had to teach me a lesson to take care of whatever it was I got. We have to start teaching our children some lessons in being, number one, respectful and staying out of grown folk business. Please stop talking adult business around your children and letting them join into the conversation. They just butt in. And I'm like, excuse me, nobody's talking to you. Why are you standing here, first of all? When we were younger, they would say to you, why were you trying to smell my breath? Get away. I'm not talking to you. But you've got little 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds who know all your business. And guess what? They come to school and they tell it. And we have to say, excuse me, that's too much information. I don't want to hear that. Stop talking. Please stop talking. Okay? We have to become more conscious of who's the parent and who's the child. And while I'm on that subject, your children are not your friends. They're your children who you have been charged to raise up from the animal level that they're born with until to a level of human beings with a sense of pride, with a sense of responsibility, with a sense of love for themselves and their people. That's your charge, parents. So you cannot do that if your child is your friend and you're afraid to upset your friend. No, that's not how that's supposed to go. You have to set guidelines, rules, and teach your children the difference between freedom and license, okay? We got to know the difference. We can't just tell everyone, I want to be free. Free to do what? What does that mean? Look up the two words. They're very different, okay? So we have to have respect for law, okay? So God's law, if you want to live, you must breathe. You can't disregard that law and jump into a body of water and breathe like you're breathing air, because you'll drown. You have to, you have the license to just jump in, but there is a great possibility that you will drown. And if another force doesn't interfere, freedom to learn how to swim, obey the law that you must either come up for air or to breathe or use a device to breathe, then guess what? You're going to drown. So, yeah, you have the freedom to disobey the laws of nature, the laws of God, and then you have to pay the consequences. And we're paying the consequences. We're paying the consequences. We're dying of all kinds of diseases. We're dying because we eat too much, we drink too much, we're engaged in behavior that's not that's against the law of nature, and we have people convincing us every day, oh, it's okay. It's okay for you to do this. It's okay for you to do that. But guess what? They're not going to pay the price that we pay, because we will be extinct as a people. We will be gone. There will be no more of us. And that may just be the plot. We need to think about that. We need to study history. We need to study history and know, hey, wait a minute, this was done in the 30s and the 40s. This was done before. This was done during slavery. This was done before that. This was done in other countries to other people. So we as adults must think and think for our children and think for their future, okay? Our children have to be the ones who understand that they are the children of survivors. Standing in this space and time as black children here in America, then somebody in your lineage made it over. They got over. They made it. They made it out of Africa. They made it out of the slave castles. They made it off the slave ship. They made it through the 160 years of physical chattel slavery. They made it through the years of 300 years, sorry, of slavery, the 160 years of Jim Crow, and they're standing here today. Now, we have decided that, oh, we don't like each other, so we're shooting each other over craziness, over nothing, over a piece of land that nobody has the deed to, okay? Well, one of my sons was in maybe third or fourth grade. Some little dude going to chase him home talking about he was on his block, and he hit my child. And I went down there to go find the little dude, and I caught him. I said, come here, let me talk to you. I need to see the deed that you have that says that you own this land. Because you said my son can't walk on this block. So that must mean you own it. So I need to see the papers that you have to prove that you own this block. And he looked at me like I was crazy. I'm like, dude, you don't own this block. And therefore, don't you ever threaten my child again. Because I will whip your behind and take you home to your mother. Do you understand? See, that's the kind of activist that we don't have anymore in our neighborhood. There's no grandmama looking out. There's no neighbor that even knows the other neighbor, much less looks out for the neighbor. The children are running amok, and nobody will say, hey, excuse me, young man, come here. Let me speak to you for a minute. Did you not see that piece of paper you just dropped on the floor? Would you mind picking it up? Thank you, because if you don't pick it up, I will. But this is your neighbor. This is where you live. See, we have to get a sense of community again. See, we all walked around last year talking Wakanda forever. Well, come on, when are we going to make it real? We got to make that real ourselves in our own neighborhoods. We cannot walk around and see things and don't say anything. Oh, they're going to, well, you know, well, they're going to yell at me. Hey, your spirit, your God-given spirit, when you walk with the God, nobody going to bother you like that. You got to believe that. You got to believe that there's a God backing you as a mother, as a father, and you have the right to help your community. See, we all start doing a little at a time. At least start by just giving each other a greeting in the morning. Good morning. Salam alaikum. Peace. Something. We walk by each other like we're scared to say anything to anybody. Oh, man, if I say something to her, she's going to get mad. But let me tell you, I remember coming down the street one morning, I had to go back to my house when I was living in the Bronx because the dog had gotten loose. I got to put him back in the fence, and I'm coming back, and there's nobody on the block but me and this young man. This young man is approaching me, and I'm walking toward him. And my very first thought was, what's he doing out here? And I said to myself, you know, that's wrong. Why would you say that about a young black man? You don't know him. You don't know where he's going. So instead, as I got closer to him, I said, good morning, young man. How are you? And he smiled, and I could see this burden just lift up off his shoulders because he's walking around knowing that everybody's thinking he's public enemy number one. And he said, I'm fine, and you, and good morning to you. Thank you. Okay? Another time I was walking down the block, and an older woman was passing me by, and she just looked so down. And I said, good morning. How are you? And she was so happy that somebody noticed that she was alive. And she returned, you know, how good, I'm fine. And she talked to me for another 10 minutes. I said, wow. So you don't know when you're being an angel to another one of your human beings. We got to stop all of this. It's all about me and what I'm going to get and the things. Because guess what? When you leave this planet, everything that you thought you owned is going to stay right here. It's going to be here, and it's going to be the burden of your families to get rid of it all. So let's stop putting so much into the things and start taking care of each other in our community, starting with our families. You got to love each other. Yes, people that love each other will fuss with each other. That's fine. Your children are going to get in the squabbles, but you got to be the one to settle it. You got to get everybody in the room and get everybody's story and not let anybody interfere with the other person while they're talking. No, 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 you'll get your turn. You be quiet. What happened? And what happened? And then you ask the question, okay, now what could y'all have done to avoid this? Did this have to happen this way? What should you have done? I should have done blah, blah. And what should you have done? I should have done. And then you make them hug each other. I don't care how angry they are. You make them understand that no matter what happens between them, they're still brothers and sisters. And you as adults, you can't be arguing in front of your children, calling each other out of your name and carrying on. No, that you don't do in front of your children. You have a disagreement, you go somewhere where the children can't see it or hear it. Because they shouldn't, because they have to remain, keep the respect for both of you. And they can't do that if they see you cussing each other out, if they see you fighting physically. So we need to rethink. We need to rethink what's going on around us. And we need to pay attention. The other problem, number three, our children and our women and our young men are disappearing. They're disappearing during the day, during the evening, at night. There's four children down here missing who went to the movies together. Where were the parents? Since when we dropping children off at the movies and just leaving? So these children are missing. There's other people, 13 years old, 16 years old, 18 years old, young men, young women, they're disappearing and coming up dead. And when they find them, a lot of times they're missing their organs. So we have to be careful. We have to stay on the alert. Stop walking down the street looking at your damn cell phone or talking on your phone.
and you're not paying attention. You got and stop letting your children walk around with headphones in both of their ears. They don't hear nothing. They can't hear a thing. Tell them stop it. Whatever they're listening to is not that important. Unless they're doing some homework somewhere, they don't need to have their headphones in. Unless they're studying some language where they got to really hear with both ears, no. Make sure that when your children are walking down the street, tell them put the phones away, unless it's an emergency. Stop looking at the phone while you're walking. I've seen people walking the poles. They're looking at the phone, stepping out in the street, almost get hit by the car. We have got to get out of the grips of the cell phone. It is making us itself a jail for us. We've got to stop it because by the cell phone, we're not paying attention to our children. We're not paying attention to where we're going, and we don't know what's going on around us. We are not in a time of peace. We are at war. War has been declared on the black man and black woman of America, and we need to pay attention. We need to be able to hear something if somebody's behind us or somebody's in. When you're walking down the street, make sure you stay in the middle of the block now. Don't walk near the curve anymore because people are pulling up in vans and snatching people. Same when you go into a parking lot. Make sure you don't park near a van. And if you see, if you come in, okay, first of all, let me back up a minute. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad told the women and the girls stay out of the street once it gets dark. Now, some of us got so liberated and so grown that we felt, well, how dare he tell me I can't be out at night. People are getting snatched at night, especially women. You have to be out at night because you have a job. Take precautions. If you're driving a car, make sure that you don't get gas at night if you can help it. Get your gas during the daylight, and even during the daylight, make sure your passenger side is locked. And that even you can lock your driver's side, have the key in your hand, and keep your credit card in your hand as you're paying for your gas. Because people are sneaking into the car in the back seat, and you look up, and they're there as you're pulling off, after you've pulled off. We've got to be cautious. We've got to be cautious. Don't go into these little convenience stores at night. Make sure you, and it's always good, have somebody with you. Have somebody with you. Get your children to walk together and stay together. You can't run down. Unfortunately, they can't run down the street in front of their brother and look back and your brother's gone because you weren't paying attention. We've got to get better at this because we are not in a time of safety. Our lives are not worth anything to no, black lives don't matter to them. And they're proving it every day. So we have to be on the offense and the defense. We have to walk. My husband always told my children, walk with a purpose. Do not get out in the street lollygagging and playing around, you know, and you not paying attention. You say, oh, that's hard. Yes, it is. But if you want to stay alive, it's got to be hard. We cannot continue to act like we are not being set upon. And we have to defend ourselves. So everybody take some kind of self-defense. Even if you don't learn but one move, be able to defend yourself. Stay in shape. Get off the couch. Do some exercise. Be able to run more than a block. If you got to get away, you got to be able to run. You can't be so out of shape. You can't run. You can't fight. You got to know how to fight back. There's a whole bunch of good martial arts classes. Enroll in a self-defense class. Learn how to defend yourself. And more than anything, be alert. You know, we're taught to walk our posts in a perfect manner, keeping always on the alert. That doesn't mean you're scared. That means you're aware of what's going on around you. You don't hear sounds and don't check it out. What was that? Okay, let me see what that was. You don't let people in your house. I'm from where I'm – no, sorry, you can't come in. Don't go for all these little schemes of putting all your information into these cell phones. Oh, you need to give me your name, your address, your phone number, da-da-da-da, your age, da-da-da-da, all of this. Why? Why you need all of that? Oh, so that we can know that I don't need it then. Click. Careful of the phone. People are calling, talking all kind of crazy stuff. I've got your nephew. I've got this. I've got that. Just hang up on them. If it's really true, they'll call back for real. Somebody in your family will call you. You got people doing IRS schemes. It's the IRS. You owe money. Give me to go down to such and such and mail this money. No, stop. You gotta think. Don't let people bamboozle you. You must think for yourself. Think about, wait a minute, does this? And don't let people fast talk you. Tell them, slow down. Wait, slow down. What? I didn't ask for you to call me. Who are you? You know, that's one of the pressure things that people are trying to collect money. Well, you don't need to know. I need this. Well, then you cannot speak to that person. If you can't tell me why you're calling, then bye. And you can hang up a phone. You don't have to talk to people. And anything that sounds too good to be true, it is. It is. It is. Don't get caught up because everybody's doing it. Yeah, everybody's buying this and everybody's investing in that. No, you need to know how many years have y'all been doing this. If it's not 20, 30 years and you can't show me where you have actually made real money, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. So we have to be more wise as parents because what we're doing is we're putting our children's lives in jeopardy. Okay, down to some mundane. It's allergy season. I don't know about up north, but I know down here in Georgia there's pollen everywhere. Everybody's driving a green car right now because pollen is all over everybody's car. It's all over your face, whatever. So my hints to you are wash your face and hands. Make sure that you don't rub your eyes with your hands because if the pollen is on your hand, it's going to get in your eyes. Once it gets into your eyes, it gets into your system. So be careful. If your eyes are itching, get some tissue or something to rub them, but don't rub them with your hands because your hands have pollen on them because you open the car door or whatever. There's pollen everywhere. I would suggest that you get some local honey that was grown in whatever your locale is because it's the honey was made from the very pollen that's making you sneeze. So if you get the local honey and take it, then it acts as an antibody to the pollen that's getting to you. So the other thing is wash your hands, wash your face, get this pollen off your face, take your clothes and shake them out and change them immediately to keep the pollen from getting all over the house, and take Q-tips and salt water and clean out your nostrils as soon as you get in the house. That way you get that pollen out of your nostrils before you breathe it on down into your chest and it makes more problems for you. If it gets worse, be very careful of what kind of drugs you're using. Flonase and stuff like that is no good. It causes more problems than it solves. So salt water, cleaning the nostrils, and you know, old time Vicks helps. You know, it's cured a lot of stuff. When young, they used to make us eat it with a spoonful of sugar to get rid of colds. You know, they didn't know any better, but hell, we still here. So, you know, make sure you try to take care of yourselves and get some rest. You know, we tend to just run, and we run our bodies down, we run our immune systems down, and then we succumb to everything. Rest is necessary for you and your children. Even if you don't go to sleep, lay your body down. Put away the cell phone. Some of y'all are 5 and 6 hours just going from one thing to the next. And be careful what you let into your space. You know, some of us, we pick up the cell phone and we start scrolling on Facebook, and by the time you're finished, you're so depressed or you're so upset or you're so whatever because of what you've allowed to enter your space. You know, be selective about what you look at on television and what you, you know, what you subject yourself to of the news and all. I mean, listen to it and then turn it off because they'll talk all day long. CNN and all these places, they will talk and beat these things over and over, and you just keep listening and listening, and you're getting more and more upset, and you have no release for that frustration. So guess what happens? You take it out on each other, okay? Because there's nothing you can do about what you just saw on television. So you get upset and you take it out on the person closest to you. So we need to, you know, we need to wean ourselves away from some of these things. You know, books are fine. You know, go get a book.
sit down and read it, not necessarily on your tablet, because all of that the light from the tablet, that blue light, is not good for your eyes even. So, you know, take a rest from that. Get a real book. Turn a page, you know. Turn the book, you know, the kind that you turn pages. Most people don't even know what that is anymore. They don't even know what a book is. They haven't read a book. I mean, there are adults that have not read books since they came out of school. There are plenty of books. Read a book. Read to your children at night. That's a wonderful thing. Sit down and get a book and read to them at night. Spend some time with them before they go to bed. Just don't send them to bed and close the door and then go back to your cell phone or your TV program. And speaking of TV programs, please watch what you look at around your children. You think your child that's in the other room is not hearing all the mess that you've got on Empire and all these other crazy shows that y'all are watching? They hear all of that, and they're taking it in, and they're thinking that's the way they're supposed to act, because you're not sitting with them to say, hey, what this person is saying is not the way I want you to be raised. So your children are taking on the characteristics of what they see and what they hear in these shows. Be careful, parents. It's your job to raise them, to rear the children, to bring them up to a better level. Look, we got to go back, read some history, read the struggles that our people went through to come from the level that we had been subjected to by our open enemy, by these people who hated us, who saw us only as things. We were listed in their property spreadsheet right under the chair, between the chair and the table. That was us. But we never gave in and saw ourselves like that. And so we overcame it all. By God's grace, throw that legacy away. We can't just let their struggle die with us because we are being ungrateful. We got to look at what we're doing. What are we doing? You know, there was a line in one of Tyler Perry's movies when the grandmother said, is this what we paid for? Is this what they sacrificed for? Is this what they kept living for us to act other than ourselves? They struggled hard to make sure the world knew we are still God's creatures. We are still human beings. We refuse to be reduced to what you say we are. We got to bring that mindset back. We got to talk to our children like that. We have to remind them, you are a survivor. And you owe great, 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 great grandmother something. And let me say this. You know, I happened to come across my father's death certificate. And my father died when I was very young, so I didn't get to know him. But I found out my father was born in 1910. And I thought about it. I said, well, whoa, wait a minute. That was only 65 years out of slavery. Hold on. So that means my father's grandmother more than likely was a slave. So when people tell you, oh, that was long ago, forget about it. No, it wasn't that. It wasn't that long ago. It wasn't that long ago. So we owe them their sacrifice so that you can stand here today. And we owe our children to know that they owe somebody because they're here and the opportunities that they have. So for 300 years you were under the threat of death if they found out you could read. Now you have the ability to read and you refuse to? Come on, people. Let's do better. Let's do better. We have to act like we're thankful, that we're grateful. And we have to give our children better than what we're giving them. All these things, all these little trinkets, the sneakers, the coats, the this, the that, the other, mean nothing if they don't feel that love coming from you. So you have to give them of your time. Spend time with your children.
And you don't have to do things, meaning we got to be going to the movies, we got to be going in. No, just be with each other and make up stuff to do. You know, my family's great for that. We sit around and we'll make up a game, and the next thing you know, everybody's having so much fun. We take paper and make up a game, or we'll just sit and talk. We had a thing going where one of the other persons in the room would make up a scenario, and you were supposed to be a professional at whatever this was, and it's usually something you had no idea what this person would do if they were a professional. But guess what? It was the most fun 3 hours that we spent. It took us 3 hours to get all this done, and we were cracking up because people just went with whatever, and it was silly and it was crazy, but it was fun, and it incorporated everybody in the family. Those are the kind of things that you will remember long after you forget about the shoes that mama bought you. Okay, so let's get back to being family. And the place where our family was able to solidify itself was around the dinner table. We sat down and had dinner together every night. And it wasn't fabulous dinner. It was just dinner. It was just food to sustain us. Okay, so it wasn't fabulous meals because we didn't have fabulous meals money. Okay, but we sat around the table and we talked to each other and everybody got a chance to talk. And, you know, I remember when one of my sons was 3 and he would tell these stories that had no end, no plot, it was just a story. And we were like, oh, my God, is this boy ever going to stop talking? But he given me a chance and the ability to just go ahead and talk about whatever he thought was important. And he would start telling a joke and there was no punchline. And we'd go like, okay, you know, and we just laughed with him. You know, and he had confidence in himself that he could do that. So, that you know, these are the things, these are the skills that your children learn as they sit around and we all talk to each other and with each other, you know, and you laugh and you joke and you enjoy company because that's what's important when it's all said and done. The memories are going to be, do you remember when mommy said or you remember when brother said or remember when daddy said, not yeah, remember what daddy had on? No, who cares what he had on? Because his shoes, you know, all of that's not important anymore. But what the interactions that you have as family is what's important. And as we come, as your children grow, they become more and more precious, those memories of them walking, of them first talking, all of those things, you know, that you need to be there for if you can. So if we are not doing that, then we got to change our life so we can do that. We got to be able to sit and have dinner together. Everybody cooks. You know, when the family gets together, okay, what are we making? Oh, we making that? Oh, okay, let's try. Oh, I don't know how to do that, but come on, I'll show you. You know, everybody gets in the kitchen and cooks together, you know, and you enjoy the meal. You know, well, I'll do this, I'll do that, you that, you know. And there's a whole bunch of us, so it's very crowded, so but it's fun. So let us as mothers and fathers take more time with each other, because tomorrow's not promised to any of us. Let's remember that. So let's not take advantage of or take for granted that we'll always be here together. But while we're here, let's take care of each other. Let's love each other more, and extend that to those who you know. So that eventually the whole community becomes a community again. The neighborhood becomes a neighborhood and not a hood that we hide under and vamp on each other with. We got to start talking to each other. We got to start loving each other. We got to start talking to our neighbors and our families. And if you got a problem with one of your sisters or your brother, settled it. Because nothing that they did or you did should come and break up your family. Because that's what we are. We're all one big family, right? So we need to do better. So you've been listening to me. My name is Mia Safia Muhammad. This is Mother's Milk. I'll share with you again. I heard a show recently, and the person, one of the characters had done something that was just disgraceful. And the other, the main character turned around to him and said, "You've disgraced your mother's milk." And I'm like, wow, that's powerful. That's powerful. So the esteem with which a mother's milk was held in that particular society was very great. Because, again, that's what nourishes you first. And you're blessed if you had a mother who fed you from her breast and gave you what God made so perfect just for you, because it was personalized just for you, and it gave you everything you needed. So to say that somebody disgraced that process, that's very heavy. And another saying was that the mother was talking to her child, and she said, "I carried you under my heart." And I thought that was such a beautiful thing, because we always talk about the womb, but we don't understand. Yes, that baby is sitting right under your heart, listening to your heartbeat for months at a time. And they always want to listen to your heartbeat through your words, through your caress, through your attention to them. They should continue to hear your heartbeat, because it's beating for them. And by them hearing your heartbeat continually through your actions, it makes them closer to you. It makes them to want to do everything in the world for you. So mothers, be mothers. Don't let anybody make you think that being a mother is less than, because it's the most important job on the planet. Because, yes, you get to make men. You get to make women. You get to make doctors and lawyers and scientists and just good people, people who other people would love to be around. That's your job. Please do it well. Please do it well. If you're not doing it good, do it good. Make it better and make it to be the best job you've ever done, because it is the very most important one that you can do. So thank you for listening to Mother's Milk. God willing, I'll talk to you again next week. And we'll be working on making the show better and better. And I'm looking forward to hearing from each and every one of you in the future with questions, with comments. And we only want to get better. So by Allah's grace, I'll see you again next week. Assalamu alaikum. And that means peace be unto you. I'm sure everybody should know that by now. But for the one or two who don't, that means peace be unto you. And may Allah bless you to be better and better tomorrow than what you were today. All right.